lives changed by your goodness, grace, mercy, and power. But Father, as we're here as individuals, would you work in each of our lives? Would you speak to us, change us, challenge us, refresh us, work in every heart here? We praise particularly for Drew and for Roman as they get baptized tonight. Could tonight be such a spiritual time, such a time of encountering more of you, of revelation, of meeting and knowing more of the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to just commit all we're going to do into your hands. Would you grab a seat, please? I want to welcome everyone here this evening, particularly family, friends of those who are getting baptized. I'm going to say just a few words by way of introduction, explain what we're going to be doing here this evening, and then I'm going to ask the two guys getting baptized in a few moments if they'll come and say a few words. We'll pray for them one by one, and then we'll baptize them. There's a story of a little boy who had seen the baptisms in his church, and when he got home, his parents said to him, "Did you understand what those baptisms were all about?" "Yes," he said. "It's when the preacher holds you underwater and you think about Jesus." Well, basically he got it right. And Drew and Roman will be lowered later on into that pool of water over there. I won't personally hold them under, but some strong, strapping men will. and they will be thinking about Jesus. But there's a little bit more to baptism, I think, than that. And we're just going to spend a few moments just thinking about that together. A few years ago, I had the amazing opportunity of visiting Israel. And I went to Qumran, the site of the ancient Jewish community by the Dead Sea, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, these famous scrolls. And what struck me as we looked around this archaeological site, there were buildings for them to eat and sleep. But many of those buildings there, the remains of those buildings, were actually buildings that were originally full of water. There were steps going down, and they were there for religious cleansing. Many of them, not just one or two, but loads of them. And it's true that many religious faith have a symbol of washing with water as a symbol of some cleansing on the inside of a person. And these Essenes that lived at Qumran, they washed completely their bodies in water many times a day as a symbol of their need to be washed on the inside. And they kept on day after day, many times a day, being washed in water, trying to get their sin out of their lives. And of course, Christian baptism is different. Similar in one way, it's a pool of water. But very different in that those getting baptized only need to get baptized once in their life. Because tonight they're not trying to wash the sin out of their life. But as they go into that water, they're acknowledging the amazing reality and truth that only Jesus can wash my sin out of my life, your sin out of your life, as he died on the cross for us. And that Christian baptism is simply about identifying with what Jesus has done for us. We're not trying to wash sin out of our lives, but we're identifying with what Jesus did as he took the penalty for our sin on the cross. Because Jesus himself was baptized, Jesus thought it was important that he was baptized. We see this as we read the account in the Apostle Matthew's record of the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. I'm just going to read from that passage this evening. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. John said, 'I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me?' But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must all carry out that which God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. A voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy.' Now, in that passage, we see Jesus coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. And although the baptism of Jesus was unique, because Jesus was and is unique, and in many ways, his baptism is not like the baptisms we're going to see here tonight. Nevertheless, there are some aspects of Jesus' baptism that relate to what we're going to see happen here this evening. In the Bible passage I read, there are five things that Jesus did that those getting baptized tonight, I believe, are also going to do. See, firstly, Jesus got baptized in obedience to God's will. In verse 15, Jesus said it should be done. In other words, he should get baptized. Jesus was aware it's something he should do. He said, because we must all carry out that which God requires. And of course, Jesus didn't need to get baptized for his own sin. The Bible makes it clear he never sinned. Jesus is the only person who lived who didn't need to get baptized in that sense. But nevertheless, as part of his identification with you and me, with sinful humanity, he did get baptized. And baptism is commanded in the Bible as a response for someone who believes in Jesus. Those getting baptized in a moment are going to stand in the water, and they're going to be asked three questions whilst they're stood in the water. The first question they're going to be asked is, do you turn from your sins? Do you repent of your sins, are the word? Because baptism, firstly, it's about symbolizing a washing away of our sins, of what Jesus done on the cross for us. And there is a cost to being a follower of Jesus Christ. It means me as a follower of Jesus, you as a follower of Jesus, those getting baptized tonight, as followers of Jesus, saying no to things that we might selfishly want to do, things that are sin, and saying yes to the things that God wants to do in our lives. Secondly, in the passage, we see that Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. In verse 16, it says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Jesus experienced the power of the Holy Spirit filling him at his baptism in a new way. And we're going to pray tonight. We pray for these two guys that are getting baptized, that through this experience, they will know more of the Holy Spirit, filling their lives, empowering their lives, using their lives in a new and fresh way. Thirdly, God the Father spoke to Jesus in a special way at his baptism. Verse 17, it says, a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. And in a few moments, as Drew stands here, Roman stands here, we're going to pray for them. And there's an opportunity for us all as God's people to listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you feel a prophecy, if you feel a scripture, if you feel something from God to encourage, a prayer to come and pray, then please slip up your hand. And Matthew's kindly has got a microphone. He'll whiz round. And just so that we can, because Phil's recording the things that people share, so that those getting baptized have a record of time. They haven't got to try and remember the things that are said, but they have a record of it. So we're going to pray that God would speak in a fresh way to those that are getting baptized here tonight. Fourthly, following Jesus' baptism, he was enabled to overcome the devil's temptations. In chapter 4 and verse 1 of this passage we're looking at, it says, after his baptism, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. And in that place, of course, he overcame those temptations and was strengthened against his enemy. I mentioned a minute ago that those that are getting baptized are going to be asked three questions. Well, the second question is this: do you turn from the evil one? You see, the Bible, of course, predicts the Christian life as a battle, a spiritual battle, God and good on one side, and evil and the devil on the other. Battle is spiritual, but it's very real. And so tonight we're going to pray for strength. As these guys get baptized, we pray for strength against the enemy. Finally, following his baptism, Jesus was propelled into serving God. In chapter 4, later on, the passage that we've just read, it said, following this, Jesus traveled through the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. And our prayer for those getting baptized is that they would be equipped to serve God in whatever way God is calling them. So the last question they're going to ask tonight as they stand in that water is, do you welcome Jesus as number one in your life? Of course, so the only way that I'm going to be used or you're going to be used by God is if we open our lives to him and offer our lives and say, God, you're number one in my life. Would you use me? And that's our prayer for these two guys getting baptized tonight. Baptism is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. I'm really looking forward to the splash we're going to have in just a moment. But let's start by hearing from Drew. Give Drew a big round of applause. Come on down, Drew. Don't be shy.